Ezra chapter 3 and the first three verses. First things first. Ezra chapter 3, 1 to 3. Let me read this paragraph, or this section of the paragraph. When the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, well, we looked at that in the previous discourse, the people assembled as one man in Jerusalem. Then Jeshua, son of Josadak, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates, began to build the altar of the God of Israel, to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation, and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to the Lord, both the morning and evening sacrifices. Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. What a fine paragraph this is. What a wonderful testimony. I know I've said it before. I've had some very strong things to say against Israel, and my, they are a big target. They're an easy sitting duck, aren't they? How many mistakes they made. What a tragic history. What a warning to us. No, the apostle does the same in 1 Corinthians 10. He uses Israel's history as a warning to us today, believers in the days of the new covenant. But here, at least with this group of people, this handful of people, come back to Jerusalem after the exiles. First things first. But what does come first? What comes first for them? What did come first for them? What comes first for us? What comes first for you, brother, sister? What comes first? Well, look at it here. When the time had come and they had settled in their towns, there they are. Now, don't get the wrong impression. This doesn't mean everything's going hunky-dory here. The place is still in a shambles. But here they are. The temple isn't built. The foundation's not even laid. There's nothing there yet. The people, what do they do? They assembled as one man in Jerusalem. Now, this is the Old Covenant, so Jerusalem is the pinnacle, and it's the place they must go, and they go there. But we're not in the days of the Old Covenant. Place doesn't matter. It's not that. But it's the principle here. You can see what they're doing. They're putting God first. They're putting his covenant first. They're putting his law first. In fact, it says so here, pretty clearly. There's a unity of purpose here, of mind and heart, and will. They assemble as one man in Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful? They've got this kind of spirit. They're unified. They want to get back to God. They've had 70 years when there's been no sacrifice. There's been 70 years of nothingness. And now they want to come back. And the first thing they do, they come back not simply to Jerusalem, but they come back to God in his covenant. And the first thing they do is erect the altar. Of course, it's the old covenant. We don't have any altars now. Christ is our altar. Christ is our sacrifice. Christ is our priest. His blood has been shed once and for all. But you see the principle. They want to sacrifice. We don't sacrifice now except ourselves. Sacrifice yourself. Romans 12, 1 to 2 and so on. But here they are. Now, you might say, well, there's no temple here. And it says so, there is no temple here. You might say, well, it's not been set up properly yet. So, no, but they're doing what they can, when they can, however they can, however feeble, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Now, don't wait. Seek to serve God now. Well, it was all easy for them. No, it wasn't, my friend. Now, whose idea was it? Where do they go to find out? Oh, well, the pagans do this, don't they? Up in Assyria, they're using this worship, and in Babylon, they had that. Let's try these ideas. Not at all. Where do they go? It's very clear. They went back in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Oh, well, yes. No. Evangelicals, we keep trotting out. The Bible is our authority. The Bible is our authority. No, it's not. The confession is our authority. Tradition is our authority. What we've always done. The world is now becoming our authority. We're copying the pagans. These people didn't. They went back to the law of God. They're doing what Jeremiah told them to. Ask for the old paths, the good way. Jeremiah chapter 6, 15 and 16. Go back there and walk in it. And they said yes. Now as before, they said no. And they went into captivity in Babylon. But now they're coming back. As I say, it wasn't all easy. Notice in verse 3, it's despite. Despite what? They had their enemies around them. And they were afraid. They weren't gung-ho and, you know, in a cocky spirit and, well, we can manage, you know, no. No, they were afraid. But they still went on. Brother and sister, God uses the weak, the obscure, the nervous, the timid. Are you a timid believer? God can still use you. Are you weak? Are you afraid? Are you self-conscious? Are you whatever? God can still use you for his glory. In fact, God takes the foolish, the obscure, the weak, 1 Corinthians 1. He takes those people and he uses them because then he shows his glory. And his glory is not to be shared with another. They are determined here. They have their enemies. They're weak. There's a smallness here. Nothing is set up. There's no infrastructure. There's nothing. Haggai has to come and plead with them to get on and encourage them because they do get down in spirit and all the rest of it. Remember, they have been starved for 70 years and they're putting God first now. Now, we treat the ecclesia, the church, so lightly today. We play fast and loose with it and we might well lose it. Can you imagine after 70 years of darkness how people will long to get back to the ecclesia? We don't value it today. It comes too easy. Too easy come, too easy go, of course. Well, here we are. These people have come to this place where they now see what it is to be starved of spiritual life. Maybe this virus thing and all the lockdown we're having in the UK will make some believers realize what they're missing. And yet they won't know because there is so little ecclesia life going on. May God bring us back to enjoy it properly. At least let us take this principle home with us. First things first. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now I know I read this the other day, but it fits in so well here. Seek first. What is it? What are the first things first? I asked at the beginning, what's the first thing for you, brother? What's the first thing for you, sister? What's the first thing for me? Seek ye first not earthly pleasure, fading joy and failing treasure, but the love that knows no measure, seek ye first. Seek ye first not earth's aspiring, ceaseless longings, vain desirings, but your precious soul's requiring, seek ye first. Seek ye first God's peace and blessing. Ye have all if this possessing. Come your need and sin confessing. Seek him first. Seek him first. Then when forgiven, pardoned, made an heir of heaven, let your life to him be given. Seek this first. Seek this first. Be pure and holy like the master, meek and lowly. Yield it to his service wholly. Seek this first. Seek the coming of his kingdom. Seek the souls around to win them. Seek to Jesus Christ to bring them. Seek this first. Seek this first, his promise trying. It is sure all need supplying, heavenly things on him relying. Seek ye first. Ezra 3, 1-3 is a wonderful paragraph. Israel shines here. At least this group of people shine. With all their enemies, with all their fears, with all their doubts, with all their questions, with all their troubles, what do they do first? God, his law, his covenant, his worship, the morning and evening sacrifice, praise and worship to God. Blessed be his name. May we come up to their standard, brother and sister, and may we exceed it. Do all to the glory of God. Amen.